just do it. I think I can. That's okay.
We were having some mic difficulties. He lost he has a gaming mic, and the mic's like removable, and he lost the piece for it.
Gotcha.
But that's okay. Okay, because it's recording now. Okay, awesome. So here we go. Welcome to Acidic Futures Podcast, episode 6, with our new guest star, Colin King, aka Point Blank Society. How you doing today, Colin?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. So is there anything you'd like to promote? Any new stuff coming out?
Sure, yeah. I released my debut album about, I guess, almost 3 weeks ago now. So that's called Ambivalence. And you can find it wherever you listen to music, you know, whether it's Spotify, YouTube, Apple Music, wherever. And I also am going to be on the road from June 7th to 17th. And so I'm going to be announcing some more cities soon, but so far I've got Houston, Amarillo, Colorado Springs, and Denver. So,
oh, nice.
Those cities, I'll be there.
That's sick.
That's awesome. All right. So segment one. Okay. I call this quick draw interview because it's just a couple quick questions. So question one, who or what band was your biggest influence in your musical career?
That's tough. I have a bunch, but it's probably a tie between 21 Pilots and Panic at the Disco.
Both pretty good bands, I'm not gonna lie. I definitely love me some 21 Pilots.
Absolutely.
All right. Now we've got, if you could, okay, I'm actually very interested to hear this. If you could do a remix or an original piece with anyone or band, who would you want to do that with?
Oh, probably I would love to have Hans Zimmer record some of my stuff. I love his music, you know, his compositions, but it's been crazy to see what he's been able to do with other people's music. So it'd be really cool to work with him.
That'd be awesome.
That'd be awesome, actually. All right. And then the third question, last quick draw. When was it that you realized that being a musical artist is what you wanted to pursue as your own career?
Pretty much as long as I can remember. I started being interested in music when I was in, I would say, probably second, third grade. That's really been my main interest since then.
Awesome. That's pretty sick. So you can play instruments, correct? I believe you can play like the piano.
Yeah.
The piano, yeah, the guitar. I don't remember all of them. I do remember reading them though.
You're good. Yeah, my main thing is definitely singing, but I can hold my own on piano and guitar. I'm always trying to improve that though.
Nice. Right. I play guitar. I'm still beginner. I mean, I can play a few songs, like the intros to songs. I listen to a lot of like Metallica and like 3 Days Grace, Korn, stuff like that. So I play a lot of rock songs. But I actually did get into writing songs and music. I want to start making raps. My buddy has a studio, and that brings me to my next question. Do you have your own like house studio, like in home, or do you go to a different studio?
So I do have a little setup here at home. Just to kind of like jot down ideas and, you know, demos, but I never end up really releasing anything that I do by myself at home. The producer I work with, his name is Nick Scott. He lives in Michigan. So he pretty much is the person who pumps out the final product in his home studio. He's got an awesome setup. But whenever If I'm not able to record the vocals with him, there's a place here in Austin that I go to called Spitshine Studios. And I record my vocals there, and I'll send them off to Nick, and he kind of puts it all together if we're not able to work on it, you know, physically in the same room.
Right. Nice. Awesome. Yeah. So Houston, so are you from Texas?
Yeah, I'm from Katy, Texas, which is right outside of Houston. And then I moved here to Austin when, I guess, 2015. So I've been here since then.
Awesome. Awesome. I literally, like, maybe 2 weeks ago, just moved back from Texas to Minnesota.
Nice. What part of Texas?
I was first living in Lake Dallas, and then I was living in Denton for a little bit. And when I was like maybe 3 or 4, I lived in Irving.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, yeah. Denton, Denton's pretty nice. It's just a nice little town. It's like in Lake Dallas was really small. Like, I mean, you drive for 5 minutes and you just hit currents like that. It was just really weird. Yeah.
But is there all enough in Minnesota?
Yeah, I moved to. I used to live in Minnesota, and I moved to Texas for a year. I just moved back so we can shoot our TV show and then our movie that's coming up. Yeah, I'm, like, from the big cities, like Minneapolis, so it's really weird to be in a small city, but I like the smaller towns.
Nice.
I definitely do.
I heard you talking to Tommy Chong a little bit about the Fuck It List. Is that what it's called, the movie?
Yeah, it's called The Fuck It List.
Nice. Where are y'all, like, in that process right now?
We haven't even started recording it yet. I'm not even gonna lie. We are recording it this summer. It's going to be for my birthday, pretty much. Like, that's around the time we're gonna leave, and we're gonna be driving from Vegas or Minneapolis to Vegas. And like, Eric Andre came out with a movie called Bad Trip, and that's pretty much how we're gonna do it. We're gonna do it like improv. It's gonna be more cinematic. Like, you could tell his were like extremely just like out of bar, you know, just like on top of everything. But I want ours to look, it's going to look more kind of like, I think it was Bad Grandpa with Johnny Knoxville and them, which was also really good. Like, that's how we're trying to take it. It's just going to be random. Like, I mean, I want there to be a scene where in Vegas, you know, I'll be 18, 19 years old or whatever, and I want some chick to be in a room with me, and this pimp comes in and he's like, yo, what the fuck are you doing? Where's my fucking money? And it's the wrong dude, and I'm in Vegas, and there's all these people like in the parking lot, and they're just seeing some pimp try and fight a kid, and they don't know what's actually happening. And I think it'd be like super fucking funny.
Nice. Yeah, so it's gonna be like kind of hidden camera sort of stuff on top. Definitely. Of it. That's,
yeah,
awesome. I love that.
People aren't gonna know what the fuck is happening, and then we have to like tell them, you know, it's for a movie, blah blah blah, and we'll like get their permission and everything. It's gonna be, I think it's going to be pretty sick, and it's going to be pretty fun.
It sounds great. I mean, I'll definitely be watching it whenever it comes out.
Hell yeah. No, that's crazy. I was not expecting you to even bring up our movie or anything at all.
Yeah, I mean, like, it was just so weird. I don't know how it came about as far as asking me to join, but, like, I was not super aware of Tommy Chong, so there was just a day when I, like, went down the wormhole of Tommy Chong, and really? That was, yeah, I was like, what's this guy up to nowadays? And so I went, like, you know, most recent on Google. I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh, you, like, just recorded this podcast with these guys. So I just, like, listened to the episode. I, like, followed you all on Instagram. And then I heard from you all after that, so.
Wow.
That's crazy. Wait, so you heard about us before I hit you up?
Yeah, I thought that y'all hit me up because I had followed you on Instagram.
No. Wow.
Wow, yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, I was a listener.
That's nuts. Yeah, no, I've never ever met someone who like had just listened to us beforehand. That's actually really fucking cool.
that's a funny coincidence then.
It is. And okay, so since you said you went to Texas, you studied at the University of Texas, is
Butler School of Music.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I moved here in 2015 to study voice performance. I didn't finish that degree, but I got about 3 years in and decided that I probably didn't need to keep, you know, accumulating debt for a degree that wasn't really going to get me anywhere. So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much how college goes nowadays. I'm not going to college. I mean, I was looking into film school. Man, that shit is so expensive. Like, there's one I was looking at, it was like 50 grand a year. I'm like, hell no, I can't do that. Are you kidding me? It's just better to go out and do it. Same thing with, like, music. I think the best way to do it is to just find your own experience rather than look at others.
For sure. And it's like, it's a super typical thing to say, I guess, but it's just like, you can basically use YouTube for your degree now. It's like anything.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. 100%. I'd imagine it's that, like, film is probably the same as music, just in that you could probably learn whatever software you need, or like any sort of DAW. You can just go on YouTube and just learn it there. You don't have to pay $50,000.
Yeah, seriously, it's crazy, because like in the movie Good Will Hunting, have you ever seen Good Will Hunting with Matt Damon, Ben Affleck?
Yeah. It's been a while. So, yeah.
in the bar scene, they were talking about how the dude just kept citing stuff from a book, and he was like, you know, you're spending thousands of dollars on an education. You know, I live in a shitty house and I read books and know the exact same thing as you. That's kind of how I see it. It's like, dude, I spent 10 cents on a freaking book. Meanwhile, you know, you're spending thousands of dollars and I'm getting the same. But I always wanted to go to college. I always thought it'd be so fucking awesome. Go to college, you know, be grown up. Now I'm like a grown up and it's like, this isn't fun. This is stressful.
Yeah, I really think that like the most useful thing as far as I'd say like creative sort of degrees go, like if you're going to be a doctor, then I'd hope that you probably went to medical school. But like,
yeah, I don't want you coming into the surgery room, like pull up the wiki page, please.
Exactly. But I'd say probably the best thing really with college, if you're going to go into a creative field, is really just, you know, the people you meet and like the experiences you have and then the classes. To me, I've never really had someone approach me with a deal and been like, oh, but like, how long did you go to college for? It's like, it's not really an issue.
Yeah, no, like people don't really look at that anymore. The world is like really changing. It's weird because I grew up and like, I'm looking at my generation, I'm looking around like, what the fuck happened, dude? Like I grew up like a 90s kid and there's all these kids who are like out of their mind. And it's just really weird that like I missed some new like fad that just clicked and everybody was different because I'm not like anyone in my generation at all.
It's strange. And what year were you born, if you don't mind me asking?
I was born in 03. I'm like about to be like 18, so I'm like a very young adult, and it is not fun to be an adult.
Yeah, it's I have a sister the exact same age, and it's I guess that's considered Gen Z, but it's like, I think you're totally right. It's like, I feel like TikTok had so much to do with it, but it's like,
oh, 100%.
Yeah, someone snapped their fingers and everyone's like, you know, walking down the street doing that all day. I'm like, what's happening right now?
I find this shit stupid as fuck. I don't know why people do this. There's no point.
See, okay, TikTok, I don't mind the platform because I think it's kind of like Vine. But dude, I've seen some TikTok shit and it's just the stupidest fucking shit I've ever seen in my life. I'm serious. I can't handle it sometimes. It's terrible.
It's hard for me to understand. Like there's some pages I follow that are like really funny, and yeah, like I'll check it out every once in a while, but like for the most part, like I just don't really get the like all the trendy stuff. I sound like an old man saying this, but it's like,
yeah, no,
it's really strange.
It is weird because it's like just all these, you know, trendy dances and stuff, and it's like, why? Like I do not get it at all. Like I remember being a little kid and like I didn't just sit on my phone all day. I didn't have a phone till like eighth, almost ninth grade. Are you kidding me? I got kicked out of the house and told to go play in a ditch.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's how that went.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's pretty crazy. Okay. And so segment two is, we call it Candid Career Talk because it's just going to be about your career. And so what is next in your career? Because, you know, you said you went to college and now you have some shows coming up and you want to be a musician. Is there anything that like you're really looking forward to do or really trying to do?
So I guess for the most part, I'm really excited to start doing shows again. I haven't done one since before the pandemic.
Right.
I decided to not do the virtual shows because just doesn't really fit my style, I guess. I decided I'm going to wait for the pandemic to be over until I can actually do shows in person. So for the most part, just for the foreseeable future, I just want to keep making music, keep trying to do shows and connect with new people.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. So virtual, I didn't even know there was virtual shows. Like, I didn't even know that was a thing. I knew that there was like a hologram show, but I didn't know there was virtual concerts. I personally, I don't think I'd want to go to a virtual concert. Like if I wanted to go to a concert, I don't want to see him on stage and like, what? I would never do a virtual concert. I'm not going to lie. I wouldn't do that.
Yeah. Some artists have been able to charge like, you know, $40 plus for tickets. And it's in a lot of situations, it's just someone kind of in a studio, like jamming with their band. And I hate to say it, but like, you know, respect to those guys, they found a way to continue their career through the pandemic, but I just wouldn't feel right charging someone a bunch of money to watch me on the computer.
Yeah,
I wouldn't want to do that. No, not at all. Like, I mean, I've been to minimal concerts. I've been to very few, but like, I've gotten concert tickets that was $10 and it was a live show with a dude I wanted to see. I wouldn't pay $40 to go see a dude on a freaking like giant computer screen.
Right.
Be weird. That'd be very weird. But so do you ever plan on like trying something else, like trying acting? Because, you know, like some actors would go to be a musician. Have you ever thought about acting or doing things like that?
Yeah, that's actually, well, it's funny you mentioned that. I kind of started trying to get back into that, I'd say about a year and a half before you know, the shutdowns and COVID and everything. I started the audition process for a Broadway show. And I got like 8 callbacks. I was super excited about it. And that's awesome. Thank you. I have no idea if it's gonna result in anything. Like, I, through the pandemic, I've heard back from them like every 6 months or so, and they'll just be like, "Can you send an updated tape?" And so I'll do it. And, so yeah, I mean, I'd love to kind of get back into more like theatrical performing, just because that's where I'd say like my roots are. When I was a kid, that's definitely where I started. And like, I'm a fan of musical theater. I love it. So it's participating in it would make me very happy.
That'd be awesome. That's pretty dope that you're, you know, getting a chance to really broaden the horizon of what you could do and what you want to do. I think that's pretty awesome.
Thanks.
Definitely. Eli, I'm gonna go. All right. I grew up with, I grew up taking theater class. So like, I did a few musicals. I was in the Lion King musical. I played the crazy hyena, the stupid one. I did Grease. I didn't play in Grease, but I helped with lighting and like backstage stuff, making the set, all of that. So like, theater is is really fun. Me and my buddies, like we were talking about, we're doing improv for our movie, and improv is probably one of my favorite types of theater because it's like all random. You get to make it up as you go.
Yeah, absolutely.
Theater's probably one of my favorites. I don't know what I would call it, like, kind of, I want to say subject, I guess.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, I'm not very good at improv, so I've got a lot of respect for the people who can do it well.
It is hard. Improv is so difficult.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. I find improv to be easier than going off a script. Seriously, like, if I can just do my thing, I can come up with everything in my brain, like a blueprint in like Inception. You know how they're building everything? That's how I feel like when I'm writing a scene. Like, it all builds up in my mind. I see all the angles. I see everything. I hear how it should be said, the emotion it should be like put through. That's why I wish I could just make a whole bunch of clones of me and make a movie so I can make it exactly how I want it to be, because I know how it should be shot.
Yeah, I think some people just like kind of have it in them. It's like you have it or you don't.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think... I definitely wouldn't say I'm like a great actor or anything, but like, I don't know. I'm a kind of person who like I'll be sitting there talking to Connor and I'll like literally just start talking in different voices for no reason at all.
Eli just talks a lot of shit out of his mouth.
Yeah, I
talk. That's why he's so good at improv.
I talk a lot of shit. Like, we'll just talk on the phone and I'll just start talking shit to him like for no reason at all. Like, I'll just be extremely mean and they're like, "Yeah, that's Eli."
So this comes kind of naturally.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, I'm not a mean person. Like, I would never be rude to you, but to my friends, like, if you're a really good friend, I might just tell you to shut the fuck up. You need to shut the fuck up.
For sure.
Just how that goes. But no, I'm the kind of person who likes a small friend group. You know, I'd rather have 4 quarters than 100 pennies. You know, that's what Al Capone said, and I think that hits the spot.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and so okay, so you. I was reading about it, and I believe you have a partner or had a partner, Sean.
Yeah,
so, Sean. Hoyt, that's what I thought. Okay, I pronounced his name correctly.
Yeah, Sean. Yeah, it is Sean. What?
No, Sean Hoyt, his last name.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Sean Hoyt. So Hoyt. How long have you two been working together and like doing things of that sort?
So we went to high school together, and we each were kind of separately interested in music. And then we had a class project. I want to say our junior year of high school, and it was to make a song together, and then we kind of worked together on that, and from there was kind of the birth of Point Blank Society. So we did that together for, I guess, about 3 to 4 years, and then we kind of went our separate ways as far as music is concerned. But I mean, Sean is, he's definitely like a lifelong friend. He was a groomsman for my wedding, and we still run things by each other, you know, whenever we have music. That's awesome. Yeah.
So it's all in good blood, though. It wasn't like a bad break off like Motley Crue or some shit.
No. It was just, you know, we started together in high school, and there's definitely, you know, some growth from each of us, and he just kind of wanted to do his own sort of project. And I think he's going to be coming out with some music, hopefully not in the too distant future. So I'll definitely be sharing that when it comes out.
Awesome.
Yeah, no, seriously. It's always great to watch friends, you know, really just succeed. And like you said, like they can just do it. Because, you know, with me and my friends, I mean, I've been hanging out with Connor since I've known him since maybe like 8th grade when he was in 6th grade. I didn't really know him at that time, like at all. Like he was his 6th grader because he's a couple years younger than me. And he was super quiet. He played baseball. Never did I think I'd grow up to be this kid's best friend. And I meet him again in like 10th grade, and we're skateboarders, and we tried to make Ethereal, which is a skateboarding company.
A skateboard brand. We still are the person who runs Ethereal. I'm good friends with him still, and he still makes edits and stuff for our brand, but we don't really keep up with him much anymore.
Yeah. But it's very weird to go from such a tight-knit group, and then everyone just kind of, you know, splits apart, and it's just everyone just kind of does their own thing. Like, I'm watching everyone who used to be in my classes, I mean, they're getting houses, you know, some are getting married, and it's weird because I still have friends who are 16 asking their mom to be out past 8, and some are like getting houses and shit. It's very weird, but I love being able to watch all my friends just kind of grow and succeed. It's very, I like to just notice all, like, everything that's happening. Like Connor, like, he used to do YouTube. I mean, there's not another dude that, like, if I had someone that I needed to like edit a big ass video, it'd be Connor or our editor Murphy. But like, Connor's definitely one of the most talented dudes I know. He's a very good skateboarder. He's actually very good at rapping, which really annoys me because he can rap much fucking better than me.
But, <Thank you.
laughs> yeah. Seriously. Have you ever tried rapping like of that sort, or have you always just stuck, you know, more of singing?
I'm definitely more of a singer. I've kind of tried to incorporate some more like flowy kind of like R&B singing. Right. I have some more kind of hip-hop influence in my music, but not really to the extent of rapping, more so just like instrumentally.
Okay. Yeah, I did listen to, man, okay, I'm not gonna lie, I can never pronounce it right, your debut, Ambivalence or something like that.
Yeah, Ambivalence.
Okay, that was correct. Okay, good. See, I was listening to it because it said that, and I click it, and it was like really like it's got this almost like, I don't mean to use the exact same word I just used for the company, but like ethereal, like it's got this like glowy sound to it, and it was just like, it's very good sounding, I'm not gonna lie. Like, it is actually a very good song. Like, you just listened to the preview at first, and I just thought, like, I don't know how to explain it, because I'm not a person who knows about music and like the kinds of beats and this and that. But truthfully, I do think it was honestly a very good fucking song. Like, I was honestly like, holy shit, this kid, like, I didn't know, you're obviously not a kid, but when I was reading about you, I was like, I don't know how old he is. Like, this kid's got some talent, dude. I'd want to like get this dude on the podcast. Like, let's see what he can do. So I was pretty stoked that you hit us up. I was like, holy shit. But yeah, no, I'm definitely honestly excited to see all the stuff that you're going to end up coming out with. I'm very excited.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah. So, you know, as a musician, you know, some have taken their talent, you know, higher heights, making record labels, some making other businesses. Have you ever thought of making a record label of your own someday?
A little bit, but not very seriously at all. My only reason for even kind of wanting to do that at all is just because of frustration with the music industry and like kind of hating the way that you see labels run. Yeah. So I think that in order to actually run a label, you have to have either a ton of money or a ton of notoriety. Okay. So, I mean, if I were to find myself in like a position somehow that I could run a label, then that'd be awesome. But I would want to make sure I do it the right way and don't kind of fall in the same sort of, you know, molds that all these other labels do that I, you know, talk shit about all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seriously though. I mean, I don't know a whole lot about the music industry, but I have heard people just talk crap about it and how it's just a vicious place to be. Like, if you don't, like, I don't know. I hear about, like Eminem, you know, nobody wanted this white kid rapping on their label and stuff. And then I believe Dre picked them up and, like, dude blew up. Like, it's crazy. Everyone, record labels think, like, I think they think completely wrong. Because I've seen some people who have like tried to pursue music and have like just randomly dropped off like off of SoundCloud and things, who were so good that they shouldn't have done that, but they just couldn't get accepted into the music industry. And I think it's bullshit.
Yeah, that's why I really try to push for anyone who's starting out just to, you know, do their own thing, to try to stay independent as long as they can. Because right now I think we just have this new wave of artists that are starting to realize that you don't need a record label or you don't need a contract, because a lot of that is really just kind of it makes you feel good to be accepted by you know the higher powers that be.
Yeah. And, definitely. Like, I definitely want like my stuff to be like Michael Scorsese or Michael. Every time Martin Scorsese, I say Michael Scorsese and I want to hit myself because he's my favorite director. But Martin Scorsese, like the one dude I would be okay with talking straight shit about to critique me would be him. Like if he told me your movie was absolutely terrible, I hated it. I'd like, what do I need to do to make it amazing? Like, I'd like to know.
Mm, for sure. But, and it used to be that the only way you could release music was you had to be on a label. Like that was the only way that you could, you know.
Yeah. There was no solo, you know, unagented people.
Yeah. Exactly. So now it's like, if you can make the work, then you can upload it and you can hit people up and ask them to listen to you. And as long as you're willing to put in the time, you know, you don't have to sell your soul in order to have people listen to your music.
Seriously though. And I mean, we have so many new platforms now. I mean, you know, back in the day, you know, 30 years ago, you had to go out and you'd buy, you know, a track, you know, you'd buy a CD. I mean, way back day, you know, you'd go back and you'd buy like literal cassette tapes and like 8 tracks and things like this. And now it's a click away and you can upload it to like tens of hundreds of sites and anyone can listen to it at any point in time for free. You don't have to go out to, you know, a music store and look through all the vinyls and everything. But I mean, I always think it's super cool to go look through all the vinyls and stuff. I always liked that, but it's crazy how anyone can do anything now. I don't think people are realizing that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think it's pretty cool though.
Yeah. One thing I'd like to say about the music industry, or just about any industry at all, whether that goes for like cooking or acting, music, whatever it is, people. Our critiques, for example, they don't understand that the music isn't, people that critique music, movies, all of this, they don't realize that it's subjective. They don't realize that it's not supposed to pique everybody's interest. It's supposed to hit a certain select few or select group of people that can relate or just enjoy this type of thing. And so with music and all these genres, it's hard to get accepted because all these new genres that are coming out, it's things that the younger generations like and listen to, like hyperpop and hyperpunk and stuff like that. And all the older people, the higher ups, think it's shitty music because it's just not their what they are interested in. And that's another reason why it's so hard to get into the music industry.
Yeah, for sure. And like a massive part of music right now is playlisting. Like, I don't know, what are y'all's like preferred platforms when you listen to music?
I use Pandora, SoundCloud, and Spotify. I use all three.
Cool. Yeah, for SoundCloud, I haven't really uploaded my stuff on there, but for Spotify in particular, it's like where where almost everyone goes to listen to music now, it's just like a knife fight to try to get on a playlist nowadays. And so whenever you go to upload your music, the first thing most people try to do now is go find these big playlists and get in contact with the curators. And what you said is totally true, because I'll submit my songs to probably like 100 playlisters within the first day that I schedule it for release, and like probably 90 of them will get back to me and be like, yeah, like I don't really like it. It's not my vibe. Like, doesn't fit my playlist. Not the right genre. And they'll all have, you know, conflicting things. Like one of them will say, you know, like I only do pop songs. Like your song just isn't poppy enough. And I'll have someone else who's like, I only really do alternative beats. Your song is super poppy. So I'm like,
that's right. That's so weird.
Yeah. So everything's just super subjective, and it's just, you know, there's billions of people out there. So it's, I think as long as people do what makes them happy and kind of what they feel like they should be making, there's always going to be the right people who enjoy what's being made.
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah, no, I mean, because I've listened to music. I mean, Connor, I gotta say, my friends have definitely, I'd say, an odd taste in music, but
Okay, hold on, Eli. I want to say your camera's off for some reason. It's not loading.
Oh, no, I know it's off. That's
okay. Okay, I just wanted to make sure. But also about my music taste, I listen to all types of music. So it goes from rock to reggae to R&B to rap to Billie Eilish and like Melanie Martinez and stuff like that. It's all over the place. And Eli likes, he likes kind of like alternative punk. It's a really weird style, and it's hard to find music in that genre. So it's hard for me to play music around him that he likes, because that's what he likes.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I definitely also, I guess, I don't know. Well, I used to really like I listened to rap for the last 5 years, and I'm just, I don't know. I want to move on to a new genre, because that's all. I used to listen to Suicide Boys 24/7. Only thing,
yeah,
I
me
listened
too.
To Suicide Boys. And now it's like, I don't want to listen to Suicide Boys anymore. Give me something else.
Yeah,
so I've been looking at like the littler dudes, you know, like all the underground people, like Audio Chateau and Arden Hills, you know, or Arden Hills, Arden Jones, I mean. But yeah, like that's why, you know, Colin, like that's why I thought you were great. You know, I couldn't find, you know, an absolute abundance on you, but I also could tell that you're growing, and I would love to be able to help anybody grow. You know, if someone wanted to make a movie, I'd want to do it. If someone came to me asking for help on how to produce music, I'd want to be able to help. So that's why I thought what you were doing was honestly just super great. I liked your music, and I think you're gonna fit in into the music industry. I do. I think you've got what it takes, to be honest with you.
Well, thank you. Yeah, and I mean, I think that mindset you were describing is like a great approach. Just you know, kind of like that mentality of just like a community, just like helping one another. So I'm absolutely all in on that. Just like anytime I hear something I like, I try to pump it out, and I try to help really anyone that I enjoy their work.
Right. Like honestly, that's what I think it's all about. You can't, I mean, if someone, you know, uploaded new music without the listeners, you know, they wouldn't blow up. They wouldn't be able to do this and that. I think, you know, the world and everything, it's okay to, you know, rely on someone else a little bit. Like, I mean, I've had people email me and hit me up, text me, it's like to work on like this one dude, I'm not gonna say his name just out of respect, but he wrote this book, and he was talking to me about like producing it, and I wouldn't be able to, because I mean, it would be such a big production. Like it'd be a legitimate movie. And I told him, like, I would love to be able to work with you on this, but we cannot right now. Like, it wouldn't be possible. This would be like, honestly, I'd probably have to spend like over hundreds of thousands of dollars, because it was about these people in an Afghan war, and there was a dude who like came back or something, and he like went crazy, and it was like this murder mystery story, and it was really, really good, but I just wasn't able to, and I felt really bad having to say, like, I cannot help you with this, but I really, really want to. And so when people, you know, are, like, reaching out to people, and they can't find someone who's able to help them, I always feel really bad, and that's why I think there needs to be more platforms of, like, kind of like SoundCloud, but SoundCloud isn't, like, extremely a supportive platform, I'd say. It's kind of your own thing. I think there should be a platform where you upload your music and then there's like certain people who listen to it, kind of like how you're saying, you know, the playlisters, and like they all send it out there and everything, you know. I think that'd be super cool.
Yeah, I totally agree.
I've been told I have a very odd thought process on a lot of fucking things. So like, Eli, you didn't really make sense. I'm like, that's okay. I know what I mean. I don't really need you to understand me.
Well, that seems to be kind of what how people nowadays are able to find success, because unfortunately, there's a lot of super talented people that just try to replicate people that they've seen find success before. And that just doesn't really seem to work. It might work in, you know, like 0.1% of people, but nowadays at least it seems that the people who are kind of finding success are doing it because they have their own unique way, and people like something new. It's hard to find new.
Yeah, you know the thing, like, think outside of the box. The box is so fucking big now. It's a huge box you got to think outside of. I mean, there's so many new things that are happening. I mean, like Suicide Boys, before Suicide Boys, you didn't really hear, you know, death rap. Like, my stepsister said that they sounded like, man, I don't remember who, like SPM or something like that, like old Mexican rap. I'm like, that doesn't even make sense. But I listened to them and it was really good. But it's really weird that there's all these new genres of things where we thought, you know, like, oh, like, this is this, you know, like with video games, we thought video games were not going to be what they could be now. And so I like to think about what, you know, movies are going to be in 30, 40 years, because back in the day, like when Back to the Future was shot, they said 2015, we were going to have flying cars. We do not have flying cars. But within the next 50 years, I cannot wait to see what the fuck is up with everything. The music industry, movie industry, everything. I think the world is going to be completely different in 50 years, and I'm pretty excited to see it.
Absolutely. You know, for better or worse.
Honestly, where do you see yourself in the next 50 years?
That's hard to say. I have a hard time kind of envisioning what 5 years from now is going to look like.
Right, because I mean, so much can happen in 2 months.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think automation is going to take over a lot of our day-to-day lives. We're already seeing that right now, like with driving. Like I have a Tesla, and I'm amazed, you know, every time they come out with a software update, how like my car almost drives itself now. It's like, you know, we're seeing that in production. People are trying to do that with music and writing, which I don't think AI will ever totally take over the creative space, just because you need humans in order to make original thoughts. I have a hard time thinking that you're going to be able to make AI create originality or art of any sort. But yeah, I guess my short answer is I think there's going to be a lot of change, just hopefully for the better.
Hopefully for the better, that is for sure. Because, I mean, we can either get robot apocalypse or we can, like, have world peace in the next 50 years. It's a very shady line right now. It's in the past 2 years, some shit's gone down. You know, who knows what's next?
Yeah.
I don't know if you know this. Elon Musk, the guy who made Tesla, of course, he's saying, well, we've already built AI and technology for all of the social media we use. The things that pop into our feed that of people we don't follow is all done by AIs. And it's because they analyze what you follow, what your interests are, and then put that stuff into the feed. And as humans, we're not able to understand how these AIs came up with an algorithm to figure out what we're interested in, and we don't understand it. And that's why Elon Musk is trying to do the brain thing, the
Neuralink.
The Neuralink. He's trying to make it to, if we can't understand robots in the next 10 years, we need to be able to put ourselves onto the level of like intelligence and like at the same level as them to be able to carry on with humans. Otherwise we'll die off.
Yeah, I find that super interesting. And I kind of have a hard time comprehending it, to be honest. But what I do really love about the Neuralink idea is that I haven't seen the results on this, but I know they've been testing it on, you know, people who are paralyzed and people who are blind and have lost senses. And supposedly they've been able to use Neuralink and put them, you know, into people's brains. And it's kind of like using, you know, I'm a dummy whenever.
Technology.
Yeah, but just like technology to just like repair these parts of their brain stem that are making them lack these senses, which I think is incredible.
Yeah, I've heard some stuff about that. That is really cool that like people that are blind are going to be able to see again because of something we're putting into our brain.
Yeah, I think that's super cool. So I'm excited to see as more of that happens. The rest of Neuralink freaks me out though.
Yeah.
And saying that like you're going to be able to communicate with other people. Just like, you know,
basically thought
just,
processes,
like
send direct text messages through your head to your friend that's across country.
Yeah.
The thing is, like if we were able to just send a message through your thoughts, what if like you accidentally sent a message, you know, you're thinking it, but like,
you sent it to the wrong person, like
there's
Snapchat?
There's this thing, like, it's called the call of the void. It's originally a French word, and I don't know how to say the French version, but like it's, if you're looking like off a bridge and you think I could jump off this right now, but you never ever would, or like, you know, you're in an airplane, it's like you could like just jump out of the airplane, but you never ever would. That's called the call of the void.
Oh, just because you're thinking it, it'll happen.
Yeah. So like if you're thinking, you know, like you wanting to send a text to somebody and then it just sends it, even though you weren't wanting to actually send it, you know, like I think it would be so much harder to do what Elon is wanting to do, that it's not going to happen within the next like 20 years.
You also got to think about like the technology that we have for public isn't what they have like a secret. Like they're way more ahead in technology, like NASA, not even like just the government. The government
was able to clone before they told us they could clone. I guarantee you they know how to time travel.
Oh, probably.
I have a hard time thinking that, just because, you know, when you listen to people like Lex Fridman and Elon Musk, they all say that they think now that the public sector is way beyond the private sector, just because like what motivates people to do so well and advance so quickly is usually money and clout. And you can now make more money and get more clout, you know, on Twitter and from the public sector than you can working for the CIA. Because like, if you go to the average, like super genius, I think that they would probably be more likely to want to, you know, make millions of dollars and become famous than, you know, live right in secret and create these secret, like secret advanced technology just you know, for the good of the country. So I can see that in my way.
Put something out for the world rather than it to be hidden.
Yeah.
See, people who like, you used to hear about, you know, like there's people who are really called American inventors. You know, who is like an inventor now? Like, I don't hear about that. You know, I understand some people are engineers and architects and things like that, but I mean, Leonardo da Vinci, he used to do, in his paintings, he would do reverse writing or mirror writing. So if he was writing something in his painting and it was like something he was trying to hide, he would write it backwards so people who were watching him, you know, couldn't do that. And he made so many creations that he was literally Iron Man's dad, you know, limited by the technology of his time. And I mean, you don't hear about those kinds of people anymore. And I'm just waiting for like the next Einstein or the next Stephen Hawking. You know, I'm pretty sure Elon Musk is one of those people, but I'm just waiting for that new kid genius who is about to like take everything to the next level. And I'm pretty sure it's coming pretty fucking soon.
And speaking of that, like if we go back, what is it? Not, I want to say 20, about 20 or 18 years, 2002, 2003, when like Facebook first came out and everything, Mark Zuckerberg, he changed the internet for forever. There was no websites or anything along the lines of stuff like that, unless it was on private or like private secure web browsers, like how how Harvard has their own like web code, you know, like that only people that go to Harvard or work at Harvard can use that web code. Mark Zuckerberg was the only person to create a social platform that was, you're able to talk and share. And that's why we have Snapchat and stuff like this now, because he made Facebook.
Well, there's MySpace. MySpace was kind of big. I mean, and then Facebook came on a couple years later and blew it out of the fucking water.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there was MySpace, but it wasn't as it was like the first one, but then yeah, Mark Zuckerberg took that to a whole nother level. Just, and did you know he scored perfect 1600 on his SAT?
No, I didn't know that. I'm telling you, he's a robot.
It's called
Strain of the Day. It is a, you know, we are a stoner podcast. And so the strain of the day is, I don't know if you're extremely, you know, interested in, you know, the marijuana information, but we usually do have a strain of the day like we do with Tommy Chong and all of our other ones. But today, the strain of the day is Do-Si-Do. And so Do-Si-Do is an indica dominant hybrid with qualities similar to what it was bred from. You've got the OG KB and the Girl Scout cookies. It was a phenotype of Girl Scout cookies, and it has the glittering trichomes and lime green lavender leaves. The strain is like literally a feast for your freaking eyes. Honestly, a Do-Si-Do is always a very beautiful strain. Like, I personally think so. I'm pretty sure it's Connor's favorite strain.
It is.
The aroma is usually sweet. It is usually pretty earthy. It's got like that
skunky smell.
Yeah, no, seriously. And then usually, hang on, I'm sorry, I apologize. I gotta pull that up. It helps with like being relaxed, you know, makes you euphoric, kind of happy. You don't get extremely sleepy, really. I usually don't. It's a pretty lax kind of side effect. Weed, it just gets you nice and bright, happy, just mellow. Do-Si-Do is definitely relatively hard to explain. Like, that was kind of off the top of my head, and like stuff I've read on Leafly. Like, I think I remember Leafly saying it's a feast for your eyes, and I was like, okay. But and I was really wanting to do a music, like a song of the day, but I didn't know what kind of music you were really into, Cullen, and I wanted to like choose something that like you would have like absolutely thought was amazing, like your favorite artist or something, but I didn't know that.
I really want to choose a song right now. What's your favorite song that you've been listening to recently that you just want to recommend?
I listen to, you know, so much new music every day. That's kind of what I do, probably like 5 hours per day, is just try to find new music. But I have been really into Chase Atlantic recently. I think they start off like on the Warped Tour scene, but then they make more like kind of like R&B, but also like kind of indie tronica as well. Let me think of one of the songs. There's so many good ones. Depending on what kind of music you like, I would say Swim by them is good. If you're one more of like a melodic kind of feel, I'd say Falling by them. And if you want something with some soul, Love Is Not Easy is another good one by them.
Okay, sick. I'll check them out.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good. So, okay. Now, you said, you know, you do concerts. What would you say is your favorite concert that you ever actually went to and saw?
Probably the first time I ever saw 21 Pilots live. Because I loved their music already to begin with. So they certainly didn't have to do anything to win me over live. But, you know, seeing their energy on stage, it really is like, it's like, you know, a whole production watching them. Like, you know, they have costume changes. They just so much energy. And it's just two people on the stage, but they have the presence as if they're like a 10-piece band. So
that's
it. Right. It's more of like an actual show rather than just listening to music live.
Exactly. Yeah. They're just, it's an entire experience getting to see them live. So
yeah,
they're
really cool.
Yeah, they're one of those bands that they've blown up and they've, you know, found this massive success. And it makes me so happy just because, like, when someone special like that finds that much success, it's awesome.
I have a few of their songs in my playlist. I listened to them like a few years ago when I was a little bit younger.
Cool.
Eli, is it time for segment four?
Yes, it is. I apologize for that. It sounds like the.
What are you doing? Your camera's been off for a while.
I call it the list. Okay, the list. So usually, if since we're rather movie based, you know what I mean. We have a segment usually called the movie spit, which is a list of movies that either we've watched, are interested, you know, things like that. And so this one is more of a musical list of songs and bands. So I wanted it to be that you could list your five favorite songs and five favorite bands, but the songs don't have to be from those bands, but you know, you can mix and match however you'd like.
Okay.
Yeah. So what would you say is your five favorite songs and your five favorite bands?
This is tough. I guess I'll go with the kind of recency bias. So I'll pull up what I've been listening to recently. This truth be told is I could probably list, you know, 100, but okay. So currently I'd say Chase Atlantic is definitely on my top five. Black Bear, 21 Pilots. Let's see. Who else? Really have been liking Jeremy Zucker. And I'll just say The Neighborhood.
I've always
got to put them on my top five.
Don't they have a song called Wires or something?
Wires,
The Wire, something like that. I think I have that song on my playlist.
They might. Yeah.
All right, Connor, what's yours?
Right now I've been listening to, I'm trying to think, what have I been listening to? I've been listening to a lot of like more relaxed, chill music. I'm gonna do songs instead of bands. We'll go a few good songs. Daniel Caesar, he has a few good songs. Superposition, Streetcar. He has an amazing voice. Lexa Gates, she's good. The Neighborhood. Yeah, they have a song called Wires. And I also have another song by them in my playlist called Wiped Out. Arctic Monkeys, they're good.
Monkeys, dude, my mom fucking loves Arctic Monkeys. Are you kidding me?
I listen to a lot of Mac Miller. Mac Miller is probably one of my biggest influences for like the music I want to make, and the type of style I want to do. I kind of like the chill, lo-fi, like slow rap. It's pretty cool. But yeah, that's what I would say.
Everybody loves Mac Miller. Have you ever listened to Mac before, Colin?
Oh yeah, he was when I was in high school, was probably like at the peak of his success. So yeah, really? I like him a lot.
Yeah, no man, Mac is so sick, dude. Like Berlin frozen pizza, no joke. That's like it at my funeral. I'm gonna play Berlin frozen pizza. Like that's probably one of my favorite songs, to be honest with you. For me, I'm gonna just do songs. Well, I could do bands. I could do bands. Okay. I got it. I'm not gonna lie. I really like Black Sabbath. My stepdad used to really like them when I was younger. I wasn't a huge fan of rock, but dude, Black Sabbath, so good with Ozzy. I'm not a huge fan of Ronnie James Dio. I'm not gonna lie. So Black Sabbath, gotta put Zeppelin in there because Zeppelin's fucking amazing. Honestly, Joey Maxwell, he's pretty good. I mean, he's just a solo dude. Joey Maxwell's good. Audio Chateau, they're pretty good. They're kind of punk. This Ain't a Scene by them, it's fucking amazing. Really good. And honestly, you know, obviously I gotta put our boy Cullen up in there because this man's gonna get to the fucking top. No joke. For real, dude. I'm honestly excited for like your new shit. I'm not gonna lie, because I really did think Ambivalence was really good, and I was like, wow, this is gonna be fucking good. So no, you're definitely in my top five for the newest, you know, bands that I really, really, really like.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, no, especially since you're getting like shows and stuff now, and you're like planning on going out and like performing and all that, like with it after the pandemic, within like the next year or two, you'll probably blow up.
Sure. Hey, I mean, I hope so. As long as I can, you know, find a way to just sell tickets and not have to have a day job. That's the dream.
Yeah, not, I'm serious. I don't want to have a day job anymore. That sucks. I hate it. I want to get to the point where if I decide, I'm like, I'm going to go make a movie. And I just go and make a movie. And then I go sit on my ass for the next, like, 3 years.
Right?
That's great. No, you can like randomly be like, I'm gonna go on tour, and you go make a like couple thousand dollars.
For sure.
That'd be great. That'd be great. Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how much people usually make on tour, to be honest with you. I don't know how all that works, like if it's through royalties or if you make money through tickets. Like, I have no idea how any of that works, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's just, this kind of, I guess, ties back into the whole music industry conversation is, I mean, if you're an independent artist and you're doing well and you can sell tickets, then you know you're pretty much bringing in however many tickets you sell. That's all profit. But if you're on a label, then you know you might be making the same amount of money as an independent artist drawing in 300 people to a show as someone who signed to a label and is bringing in, you know, 1,000 or 1,500 people to a show. So it varies a lot.
Jeez, wow. I didn't realize it was like that.
Yeah. But at the same time, it's like, it's debatable. A lot of people would argue that, you know, the labels deserve that because they're the ones that are, they're blowing you up and they have all the resources to get those people to your shows. So I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like the connections you have and the people that you can meet is a really big thing for solo people to like progress and make their way to fame and all of that. Like, because if you don't have good connections and you aren't able to like hit up people to get other or like producers and stuff like that, like you won't, if you can't do it yourself and you didn't learn how to do it, you probably won't be able to do it. And that's another hard part with music. Is it people that go to labels, they are going to labels because they can't find someone that won't do their stuff just to help them out or just to have fun making music. They're trying to they go to someone that has the resources, but they're greedy with the money, and it's kind of shitty.
Sometimes a label will even see someone who's very appealing, and they'll swoop in, and you know, it just depends on who that label is and what their intentions are, but it can either make or break that band or act, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. So with music that's copywritten, because I was just wondering, because if you know, a show is wanting a song, usually you'd pay through royalties, right? Like you wouldn't be an upfront payment of I can have your song, usually be from what your show makes with the song, like you'd get paid for that, right? Like not even just specifically you, but like with, you know, Freaks and Geeks, they have man, I don't even remember the name of the song, but it's really good. It's like it goes I don't give a damn about my reputation, living in the past with the newest generation. That yeah. Song, don't remember what it's called, but that's one of like, that's a great fucking song. And I really wish I could like have it like as an intro for one of my shows or something. But I don't know how the music industry works and how this works with going through the film production and stuff. So I think it's very interesting to talk to someone, you know, from the music industry point, and then there's someone from the film industry point, but it's at the same subject. And I thought it was very, very interesting because I don't know how any of that works.
Yeah, so if there's a song that's already written and you want to use it, you could either, you know, ideally being able to reach directly out to the person who owns the rights to that song or who wrote that song, being able to say, you know, I want to offer you this much to, you know, just outright. I can use it as many times as I want for this show, you know, for the intro music or for whatever it is. I think that's usually the ideal circumstance. But sometimes you have to kind of jump through hoops and it turns into who owns the rights to this music. Okay, it's this person or it's this label. Let me try to talk to them. And then they might decide, you know, we want a percentage of the revenue that comes in. Like, you know, we want, I'd say for an intro song, if someone's talking percentages, it would probably be like, you know, a fraction of a percent. But, you know, that might be kind of their long game. It's like, if they think you're going to make a really successful show, they might be thinking, you know, this show is going to be bringing in tens of millions. I'd rather that be a good long-term investment than them pay me, you know, a couple thousand up front for exclusive rights or something. So yeah, definitely. I think it depends, but it's become a lot easier with the internet now though. Like there's certain websites you can use, or you can go straight through like ASCPA, something like that. I don't know. I always forget the acronyms, but you can go through these different sites and you can sometimes artists will make it to where you can just use their music, and as long as you give them the credits, then like it'll automatically roll back those royalties to them once or twice per year, sometimes every quarter.
Okay, that's interesting, because I was looking into it, you know, because I mean, we plan on having a show and I plan on having an intro song, but I don't know how that worked, because I just I used to want to be a mechanic. I used to also want to be a musician, then I found out I can't fucking sing. So I was like, interesting. Okay, that's not going to happen. But with a mechanic, I you know, there's anything I could learn about the car I wanted to, but then I kind of grew out of my whole car phase, I guess. I still absolutely love cars, but I'm not, like, I couldn't fix a car for the life of me, probably. But with filmmaking, there's everything. Everything is just so, there's so much to it, and I want to learn everything about it. And so it broadens over to so many different aspects. So, because, you know, there's directing, there's producing, there's the editing, there's all this. And like, that's what I love to do. I like to do it all. I mean, I run our business page. If someone's emailing someone or DMing someone, they're talking to me most likely. I'm a writer. Like, I love doing absolutely everything with the film like industry. And I think it'd be super cool to be able to work with someone on the music industry. Or like with film and everything, you know, even with music video, or someone, we're making original music for my movie or something. I don't know. I really think it'd be cool to work with a lot of different people who are in different aspects of their jobs, but it can still correlate to what I'm trying to do. And I think it'd be really cool to do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think that'd be pretty fun. Have you ever thought of, like, you know, making original music for, you know, someone else maybe, or like doing something of that sort?
Yeah, I've done a little bit of that, mostly just through either features or just helping someone, you know, co-write in kind of a small way, typically just through like lyrics or melody. But yeah, something that does interest me is, like, you know, being able to do something from scratch. That's something I'd like to get into a little more, is someone maybe approaching me and saying, like, you know, we want to make this type of song for this project, and being able to kind of step outside of maybe my comfort zone of what I release as, you know, Point Blank Society or as my own music. I'd really like to get kind of more into that space of, like, this isn't exactly my lane, but I can write it for someone else.
Right. Okay. I see what you mean. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. So, okay. You said, I know you decided to use Point Blank Society, I believe, around 2014 or 2015, correct?
I think, yeah, 2014 sounds about right. Yeah.
2014. Yeah. Okay. So before that, did you just, because you and Sean were doing it, so did you guys just say Coleman and Sean, or what did you guys originally call yourselves?
The first thing we ever released was a cover of Your Guardian Angel by the Red Jumpsuit Apparatus, and I think we just released it as like Sean and Cullen, or Cullen and Sean. But kind of shortly after that, we did our first show just playing a bunch of covers, and as well as I think a couple of the songs that we'd been working on. And it was like before that show, we decided, oh, we should probably think of like a name for our act. And then I wish there was a good story for it, but it was really just like, oh, this kind of sounds cool. Point Blank Society doesn't really mean anything. So we just kind of ran with it.
Nice. I mean, no, I thought it was pretty sick. Like it was Point Blank Society. And I at first I thought it was like a big group of people. That's what it was going to be, you know, kind of like how the Grateful Dead have like all these people. It was like one or two dudes. And I was like, whoa, like I wasn't expecting that. But no, I actually thought Point Blank Society was actually a pretty fucking cool name. Like Acidic Film Productions. I mean, the only reason why that's that is because I wasn't a very good kid. So it just correlated to what I used to do. And I want to make some pretty cool movies. And like Stephen King's known for, you know, having terrible endings. I mean, he even puts that in for one of his characters in the movie It. Man, I'm going to put some fucking mindfuck of endings in my movies. I swear to God. Like, seriously, like, that's what I want to do. Because, like, it's just going to trip you out. Like, Shutter Island ending on that blew me away. Insane. Gave me a seizure. Inception, that was crazy. Like, seriously. That's what I love. And, like, I don't know. Some things just absolutely blow me away. And then when it does, it's great. But movies used to seem so much different to me now. But, like, I'd get a movie, and I would literally read the entire back of it. I would read what it's rated, why it's rated, who filmed it, why they filmed it, all this and that. It was just, I don't know, I was a very weird kid about it.
That's really cool. Yeah, I guess whenever you have that interest in something, like kind of go the extra mile to learn more about it and figure out the background.
Yeah, and like my siblings and stuff, like, Eli, why are you reading that? And it's like, they wrote it, it's supposed to be written, why wouldn't I read it?
Yeah, see the credits.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, obviously I never read the very ending credits. No one can read those fast enough. I mean, it's like trying to read Star Wars on like 0.5 speed. Yeah. But there was one more question that I did want to ask you, because we did finish segment four. So the last question pretty much this podcast is, would you, because you know you were originally with Sean, and then you know you broke off. And would you ever leave, you know, being solo behind you and you would join a band, or would you do, you know, solo and a band at some point?
I'm always open to really any sort of possibility. I love doing Point Blank Society, and that's really, you know, between that and like potential musical theater stuff, that's really all that's on the plate right now. But you know, I'm always open to collaborating with other people and starting new things.
Right, yeah. I mean, so if you ever did do a band, what kind of band would you do? Would you stick with what you're doing, or would you, like, switch it off? Would you go with, like, some crazy-ass hard metal or something? Or, like, would you want to just stick to what you know?
I mean, I'm open to anything. Specifically, like, if I were just the singer, or if I were just in there helping write or whatever, I'm open to anything. I love metal. I love pop. I love rock. I love R&B and hip hop. So yeah, I'd be open to any of those. I kind of feel like, but what I've felt best at just the last few years has just kind of been this like darker sort of pop, just because to me, at least, it seems like that's where I kind of find that it feels the best to me when I'm making it, when I'm kind of, you know, putting pen to paper. That's kind of what feels right. But yeah, when it comes to kind of broadening that horizon, I'm definitely open to pretty much any genre.
Well, I'm glad to hear that you're open to any genre, because, you know, who knows, maybe I'll just be chilling and I'm gonna get a notification that you dropped some shit, and it's gonna be this sick ass rock, and it's gonna be like hard as fuck. So no, that's good to hear, because I think it's definitely good that, you know, artists should be able to know that they don't have to stick to a genre. I mean, MGK was rap, and I mean, he switched over to rock mainly because of Eminem.
But he does rock, he does pump, he does country, he does everything. MGK is so diverse with his music, and that's part of the reason why he blew up so much.
Yeah, so many different types of types of people and types of listeners that are they're open to him.
Yeah, no, definitely. So I'm definitely excited to hear what you have. And you said you have shows coming out. Would you like to say, you know, any of the stuff that you have coming out again or anything you'd like to say before we end it?
Sure, yeah. Just you can listen to Ambivalence. If you search Point Blank Society pretty much on any platform, you'll find my stuff. And I'm pulling up my dates here. I know on June 7th, I'll be in Amarillo, Texas. June 9th, I'll be in Denver, Colorado. June 11th, Colorado Springs. And June 21st, I'll be in Houston. And I'll be putting more dates out hopefully within the next week. So hope to see people out there.
Yeah, awesome. Definitely. That's definitely good to know. All right. Yeah. So thank you so much for joining our podcast. I had a good time talking to you. I hope you do had a good time talking to us.
That was great to talk with you.
Yeah, no, definitely. Definitely excited to see, you know, as you grow and everything. And so I'm very excited to hear your new music. And I hope you have a good rest of your day.
You too.
Yeah, all right. Thank you so much.
All right, see ya.
Awesome.